All right. Welcome, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started here. I am extremely excited to name Brian, and I'm going to practice your name, I'm going to do it more, Gutekunst, as our new general manager. It's a great day for the Packers, and I thought maybe I'd talk a little bit, start out with the process, just talk a little bit about that. And I was very pleased with the process. Obviously, it was very quick. Wrapped it up a little bit over a week. It was very intense. And I felt we had four very strong candidates. And I'm just very pleased with the way the process unfolded. A lot of people assisted and helped. And wanted to thank a few people for their help in this process. First, Ted Thompson. Ted, he assisted in the process. He interviewed candidates talked to me about the process. But also, obviously, we had three internal candidates, and I think I would be remiss if I didn't recognize the role that Ted had played in mentoring all three of those candidates and working with them and helping them develop. And also, Ted and I sat down and talked, and so it was a good. He gave me a good sense of how he evaluated and viewed each one of the three internal candidates. So he was very helpful. Mike McCarthy also interviewed each one of the four candidates that we brought in, and then at the end of the process, Mike and I sat down and was able to get his input on the candidates. So he was extremely helpful as well. A number of people internally assisted in the process. Most notably, Ed Policy, Nicole Ledvina, and Jason Wallers were involved in that process. Also, I also wanted to recognize, and I know this has been mentioned publicly, Jed Hughes. He was a consultant for our search. He could not really. He's also handling the search for the Texans. But for us, he just served as a consultant, and he was very helpful. And again, though, as I mentioned, the final decision was mine, both on the decision to hire Brian as well as the decision to change the structure. I also wanted to recognize a man named Charlie Casserly, who was very helpful to me in this process. He's on the NFL's Career Advisory Panel. Some of you may know Charlie's name. He was a very successful general manager in the NFL for the Washington Redskins and then the Houston Texans. Charlie and I go back to 1977. I was a rookie with the Redskins, and Charlie was a volunteer, unpaid assistant in the front office for the Redskins. And I had an extra room in my apartment, and so he was my roommate for that rookie year, my rookie year. And it was great to he and I have stayed in touch over the years, but very knowledgeable and knows a lot about the league, and I wanted to acknowledge Charlie's role in this process. You know, and the other thing I wanted to say, you know, I thought the process to me was very, 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 very helpful in terms of really allowing me to have a good sense of what was going on and with football. I would say this. For the last few years, I've tried to be more involved in football, practices, things of that nature. And as we have gone through the process, really, for me, focused me on some of the issues that I saw within football. And obviously, as you know, we all know we've had great success, but I think organizations evolve, and you can always improve. And what this process showed me that within football, we have silos. And we've had some breakdowns in communication. And one of the things that I really tried to do as I looked at it, you know, what would be the best way to improve communication, improve collaboration among people within our football operations, and how do you knock down those silos? So this search process really identified some of those issues for me and was really very helpful. You know, in terms of the structure, I would say, you know, the position really for the last 13 years, the way the position was structured with Ted Thompson, it was really three different titles: general manager, executive vice president, and director of football operations. And it's really been that way for 13 years, and it's very, very broad. It's very difficult for any one person to handle all of those responsibilities. So really looking at it, I decided that it would be in the best term and long-term interest of the organization to change the structure. And so I split the position, and Brian will be our general manager. He'll have all roster decisions, including the draft, the 53-man, the 90-man roster, free agency. And Russ Ball will take over the other aspect. He'll be the executive vice president and director of football operations. Really, in a lot of ways, recognizing what Russ has been doing for years. He handles most of the administrative aspects of the role, has been a key person for us for many, many years. And so I really think that that made a lot of sense. And he'll continue to oversee all of our salary cap contract negotiations. And the other thing I would say, you know, the structure in any organization, you know, there are structures in place, and those are fine. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to people, and people communicating well, working well with each other. And I think this new structure will help. But for this to be very successful, I think the key is going to be all of us working together. The other piece of this is that I looked at, and I thought to really improve communication in all these areas in football, I thought it would be very helpful for Mike McCarthy, for the head coach, to report directly to me. So I anticipate, I think it's the best for the organization, and Mike, Brian, Russ, and I will meet on a regular basis, a weekly basis. And I think it's really going to be helpful that we're always on the same page. It'll improve communication. It'll improve collaboration. And I'm very, very, very excited about that. Just I wanted to talk just a little bit about Brian. I'm very excited. I've been impressed with Brian for a number of years. I think he's a natural leader. You can see that, how people interact with him. Has a nice, calming presence to him, and I'm really excited about what he's going to be able to do for this organization in the future. He has been viewed as a rising star. I don't want to brag about you too much here, Brian, but you've viewed as a rising star within the NFL, and is a great background, great experience, and is an excellent evaluator of talent. And, you know, one of the things you may ask, well, Mark, how do you know that? Really, it's Ted Thompson making the final decisions. And through this process, one of the things that was very helpful to me is that I asked Brian if he could go back and give me the draft reports that he put together for our top three picks over the last 3 years. And that was very enlightening, extremely well written, in depth, and what he talked about and what he saw with those players is what I saw on the field, and so that was very encouraging for me. Just quickly about Russ Ball, I think those of you that you know the organization and know me know what high regard that I have for Russ. I'm very pleased to be able to promote him. As I said before, I really think it recognizes what he's been doing for this organization for a number of years. He's just a very, very valuable, very valuable employee for the Packers. One of the finest people that I've ever been around. Tremendous ethic, tremendous work ethic, and just really pleased to be able to promote him to that position. With that, I think I will turn it over now to Brian and have him talk a little bit, an opening statement, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all coming. Just a few thank yous to get out of the way, if possible. First to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, none of this is possible. To my wife, Jen, a rock of our family. To Marley, Joey, Michael, and Casey, kind of my inspiration in life. So thank you guys very much for all the sacrifices you've made along the way. Mark, thank you for the opportunity and the faith in me. And really importantly, Ted Thompson. He's been a mentor and a friend to me for a long time now. And he has taught me so many things along the way, his discipline to the process and his ability to face adversity and stay steady has been something that will always stay with me. I want to thank Ron Wolf for the opportunity to get into scouting. He was the first guy that I had a chance to work for, really, for any length of time. And not only things I've learned from him, but then also the people that he brought into this organization, the John Schneiders, the John Dorsey, Reggie McKenzie, Scott McLuhan, were so instrumental to me along the way, my journey, my path. And so I'm very, very, very thankful for that. Obviously, my mom and my dad, my father, who's a career football man, who kind of inspired the love of the game to me, and my mom for unwavering support. I'm really, really excited about this opportunity. This is an amazing place. There's a standard of excellence here that has been here for a long, long time, and I'm really excited to get after this and get us back to that level. There's a lot of work to do. We got a great staff ready to go after it and get this thing accomplished. Green Bay Packers is a cornerstone franchise in the National Football League, and I'm just really, really pleased to sit here before you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, let's open up for questions from your family. Maybe. No?
What is the proper way to say your last name?
Oh, good one.
Gudekunst.
Brian, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
There's been a lot of talk of the Packers way. Mm-hmm. So in your own words, what is the Packers way?
I think the Packers way kind of stands for the standard of excellence that's been set around here for, basically since Ron came back. And I also think it really refers to the people, and the relationships that make this place work. So to me, this is about winning. This is what this is about. And the Packers way is a kind of a process, a system that's been put in place and has worked here well for a long time.
Brian, you obviously have...
Yeah, hey.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You mentioned Ted, mm-hmm. your friend. You watched the way he did this
yep.
for years and years and years. How will you be different?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll say those are big shoes to fill. And there was a foundation of draft, develop, and retain our core players that won't change a whole lot. I mean, that's going to be the foundation of the way that we build a roster. But I do think, I will lead in my own personality and, probably a little bit more aggressive in certain areas. I think we're not going to leave any stone unturned as far as every avenue of player acquisition. Doesn't mean we're always going to get to the finish and actually sign the guy, but we're going to go throughout the entire process and kind of be in on every possible acquisition. Our guys are really excited about that. Just the conversations over the last 24 hours, we're really excited to kind of maybe delve into some things we haven't done in a while.
Hey, Brian, congrats.
Yes, thank you.
Have you been able to convince Elliot Wolf to be a part of this?
I surely want him to be part of this. I think the world of Elliot Wolf, not only as a scout, but he's very close to me as a friend. So he obviously has other opportunities if he wants them. But that's kind of between me and Elliot, but I'm very hopeful that he'll be here.
Mark, maybe I would just say this about Elliot. Obviously he was he was part of the process, one of our candidates. He's going to be a general manager someday. He's extremely talented, and I have high respect for him, and I really believe he's got a great career ahead of him.
Mark, with the new organizational structure, does that give you, I guess, direct power to hire or fire a head coach, or will that fall under that?
It does, yeah. The head coach would report directly to me. That's the kind of, Brian and I were talking earlier. Across the league, I think there's 13 teams in the league where the head coach reports directly to the owner. Now, I realize I'm not an owner, but I represent the shareholders. So it's not completely uncommon. Interestingly, 7 of the 12 playoff teams have that structure, including Pittsburgh and New England. But of a major decision of that size, even if Brian, if the head coach is reporting to Brian, he and I would talk on that. I mean, you're, you know, a major decision like that, you're going to be involved. But at the end of the day, that would be my decision.
Mark, you obviously come from a football background yourself. Do you foresee any scenarios where, when it comes to player acquisition or the roster personnel, you would either veto something Brian wants to do or give him a directive from your office to pursue a certain
thing? No, I would never do that. I mean, I've managed people, for years, and I don't micromanage. I hire good people and let them do the job. You know, the structure... I'm not going to make football decisions. I've got the three key people in our football operations are going to be all report to me, but they're going to be making the football decisions. And we will communicate very well, communicate on a regular basis. And although, again, it goes back to people, not necessarily structure. While the structure is different than what we've had in the past, I don't think it's going to be as different as people might think. So, you know, and I'm excited about it. I think it'll help the organization, and ultimately, I think it's going to make us better and help us in our goal to win championships.
Mark, I'm just curious. You mentioned major decisions you wouldn't veto Brian. So, if Mike's reporting to you on a weekly basis, and Brian has control over the roster, who's on it, 53, and all that stuff, what is Mike reporting to you about?
Well, obviously game plans, the games, coaching positions, all the things, strength coaches, everything that's under the head coach's control.
Brian, for those that don't know you as well, what do you feel you bring to the table, and how do you sell yourself in the interview process?
The thing that I think that, I was born into a football family. I've been around football all my life. It's kind of, from the time I can remember, winning and losing was part of my life, I've had such a broad spectrum of football experience, growing up as a coach's kid, coaching for a while, going to the Kansas City Chiefs with John Schneider and, seeing some experiences there. And then, there was a good 13 years of my career where every day, and even the last six, there were so many days where I'm sitting in the middle of a college campus and watching how Nick Saban runs his program or Urban Meyer runs his program, how the training room functions there, how the strength. So I've had so many experiences that way, along with obviously the talent evaluation part of it, that experience, that broad experience, I think is one thing that, I kind of can lend here. But the other thing is I think I'm a big relationship guy. I have great relationships with Mike. I have great relationships with Russ and Elliot, and I think that will continue throughout the building. And I think that's something I'd really look forward to because obviously within the personnel department, I have those relationships, but as I grow here throughout the building, I think that'll be something that I'm looking forward to.
Hey, Brian, my sense is that Mike always had to answer all the questions about roster moves. For example, when you guys released Josh Sitton, it was after Ted's last press conference. We never heard from Ted until the combine. Do you think you'll be, more forward-facing in that type of situation and maybe connect with the fans through us?
I would think that would be something that would happen, yes.
Why is that important, do you think?
Well, I think, I think I have a responsibility not only to the team, and this organization, but, to the Packer fans alike. I think a lot of times when there wasn't communication, there was perception that would, and I think, if we can communicate clearly, I think that'll take care of some of that.
Mark, so you had some concerns, let's say, in the past year. Were there a lot of things that came up during this past week in the interview process that made you think about this restructuring or how to move forward?
There definitely were things that came out in the interview process. I have been a little more closely involved, but this process did shed light on some things. And, I think the other thing, organizations evolve over time. And I think in order to continue to move forward and be successful, you have to evolve. And I'm hopeful. I think this will be a very positive move for us going forward.
Mark, Mark, I think all these guys will work, have worked together, will work together very well.
Yeah.
What if they don't agree? What if there's a dispute as to whether there's enough money to sign a free agent or whatever?
Yeah.
Who makes the decision?
Well, first of all, I'll sit down with them. And, my father spent a long career in labor relations, ended up being a mediator. So I will mediate and bring people together and try to get everybody on the same page. Ultimately, if it's not possible, then I would make the decision. But I would say, I mean, it depends on what, kind of dispute. I mean, if it's something that's involves a roster, Brian would have final say. I mean, and that's the other thing, I think, is, clearly, and we've done this, clearly defining the roles and responsibilities of each person is going to be very, very important.
Mark, Brian just said it, though. I mean, any of us who've been around Brian know how he is with people and how good he is with people. Are you sure that those silos you mentioned weren't a function of how Ted was, that it was more, are you sure it wasn't just an issue with Ted, not necessarily the functionality of the company?
It wasn't just Ted. I think it's been the organization. We've had the same structure for a long time, and I think that some of those silos have been in place probably well before Ted. And I think this will be, in my mind, a very positive mood.
Hey Mark, as you went through the process, regardless of who you were going to pick as general manager, would you have gone? Would you decide you were going to go with the structure, whether it was an experienced or a first-time GM?
I went into the process, I'd say overall, with a very open mind. Obviously, the first goal was to hire the right person. I feel very confident I've done that. I think that's where the searches and the process like this can be very beneficial. And I didn't necessarily go in with the idea that I want to have this structure, but I have had a sense for a couple years that I needed to be a little more involved and. I think what this process did for me was to make it clear what that exact involvement will be, and I think this I'm excited about it. I think this is going to be very positive for us moving forward.
Brian, what was it like to be the son of a coach? And at what mm-hmm. point during your football path did you kind of set your sights on this?
Yeah. So I think probably to answer the last part of your question, I interned here in 1997, right after they'd won the Super Bowl. And at that point, I was on a career path of trying to get into coaching and went back and coached one more season at University of Wisconsin La Crosse. And at that point, I got offered a job, a paying job. So I took it. And and over the course of probably those 3 years, I really fell in love with scouting. And then all of a sudden, as that progressed, you started looking at different ways, you could reach your goals as far as being a general manager. So, football's football, whatever, way you're touching it. But I probably fell in love with it at that point. Ron Wolf had a process that we still do today that is just different than a lot of places. And the team building aspect of it is something that really appealed to me. But growing up as in football is a wonderful experience. You don't get to see your dad as much as maybe, some others do. But being around a locker room every single day, being on the practice field, having the emotional tie to winning and losing is something that I'll never forget.
Brian, who helped you fall in love with the scouting side of it during that three-year window?
I think that probably the guy who trained me the most was Scott McLuhan. Scott was a scout here when I first got here. He was kind of the leader of our scouts. And he was the guy that when all of us had questions we were afraid to ask Ron, that we just asked him once we got done, and he would answer them for us. He was an exceptional talent evaluator and basically hitching my wagon to him and listening to why he, did the things that he did and what he believed in was something that really kind of stuck with me throughout my scouting career. So he was certainly one. The last 10 years with Ted Thompson have been probably the most influential time of my career because of just his humility, his strength, his discipline, his calmness in the face of really tough situations, and just understanding why he did what he did. That will have the most lasting impact, I think, in my career.
Brian, will you continue to coach? Will you continue to go out and scout on the road like Ron Wolf has done? And also, what role do you envision Ted Thompson having in your new system?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I'll still go down the road and scout. I will say this, that the main priority will always be the team here. You know, that is the first priority and always will be. And if I have to be here to support Mike or anybody else for our team, then I will be. But whenever I get a chance to get out on the road and scout, I think that's essential to building a team. And I believe that the guy that sits in the chair that I'm about to sit in must know the players. Like, you have to know the players, and you have to know them yourself. And so that's important to me. And that's what I'm good at. That's what I've been trained for. As far as Ted's role, I would hope that I could lean on him very much through this process. He's obviously has a ton of experience, and he's a very, very close friend. So I expect him to be very involved as much as he can be.
Brian, you mentioned your team. Congratulations. Also,
thank you.
You had a hand in putting this team together. What type of team are you inheriting, for lack of a better word?
You know, I think we have a lot of quality pieces of this team, but there's a lot of work to do as well. You know, we need to get competitive in every group. You know, we need to have competition across the board at every group so nobody feels safe. You know, I think that's important. I think competition allows talents to rise and allows the cream to kind of rise to the top, so to speak. And so that, to me, is where we need to go. We need to take every opportunity to improve the roster from the top to the bottom so that there's competition all the time. You know, even at the end of a season when you're banged up and you got nicks and things, that you're not just holding on, that you actually have competition and there's guys – the guys understand that if they don't perform, there's someone right there willing to take their spot.
Mike said last week, I've got to get a team to the goal, whether Aaron Rodgers is there or not.
Correct.
What's your take on what happened in 2017 and how far away do you think you are to that goal?
Yeah. First of all, I don't think we're very far away, but there is a substantial amount of work to be done, but I think it can be done shortly. I think there was a lot of reasons for what happened this year, and we need, you know, there are certain areas that needed to play better, and you know, we're still in the process, I think, of kind of dissecting some of that and moving forward, but we're really, really excited about the opportunity before us. I think there's a window here in the next few months where there's some new coaches coming in and there's some new things that will be done on the personnel side where we can really come together and move this ball forward, so we're excited about that.
Brian, can you give me your definition of free agency as a tool?
Sure. I think, you know, obviously our foundation is going to be, you know, the draft. But I think it's an absolute must as an accessory piece, you know. The thing that I've already, you know, told our guys is that we're not going to be able to sign every player. We're not going to be able to make that the foundation of our team. But we want to be in everything. We want to be in the know of everything that's going on. And if it makes sense for us, not to be afraid. We have to be prepared enough to pull the trigger. And I think that's one of the areas I'm excited to kind of see how we go here. And I know our guys are really excited about that part of it.
Brian, go take us through the last 36 hours, or maybe even through the rear view. You got on a plane, you're not having dinner in Houston.
Sure.
Nobody like you. Just you that's involved, all this stuff. And all of a sudden you're back here and you're sitting in that chair.
Right, yeah. It's been a whirlwind for sure. I interviewed on Friday. It was a long, grueling interview. But it was a long day Friday. Got out of the interview and watched a couple basketball games with my girls, and then Saturday got on a plane around noon, 1 o'clock, headed to Houston. There were some conversations with Mark in between there, and then sometime late Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning.
I tried to ruin his dinner.
And my phone was buzzing quite a bit. I tried to be respectful and keep it in my pocket. It was a wonderful dinner with the people that I was with. And like I said, this is I let Mark know on Friday that this is my dream job, that I absolutely love this place, and that I wanted to raise my family.
You didn't tell your agent that.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. But, you know, I'm really glad that it came, you know, came to where we are now. So,
Mark, how much did his flight to Houston push you to make a decision? Were you afraid of losing him? How much did that impact the timing of all this?
Not a lot. You know, he was our, we went through our, we had our last interview on Saturday. And as soon as the last we had the last interview, a group of us sat down, and pretty quickly, you know, Brian, we all agreed that Brian was a top candidate. Unfortunately, we'd let him out the door already, so he was on his way to Houston. But yeah, then communicated with him, and yeah, I guess it's what sped me up a little. I didn't want him to have the full interview in Houston, so he'd had a dinner and wanted to try to wrap things up that evening and get him back on a plane Sunday as soon as possible.
Mark, can you
give us a glimpse of what the interview was like and maybe some of the things that really impressed you the most about it?
Sure. Yeah. And I've done a lot of searches, and when you have internal candidates, it's always a little different because, you know, you have a relationship with them, and you're used to interacting with them a certain way, and now it's all of a sudden, you know, formal interview process. But a couple of things stood out about Brian. He was very prepared, very knowledgeable. You know, I think Brian's background, particularly the college scouting side, really stood out, you know, in terms of his knowledge of and his ability to evaluate. And, you know, as I mentioned before, the draft reports that he did were very detailed, and I found those to be very helpful to me in terms of determining what kind of evaluator he is. And then, you know, just the quality of the person and, you know, just overall, I was very impressed.
Brian, I know it's your first day, but where do you start? What are your priorities as you get going?
Yeah, my first priority when I got home was get some sleep, and I got that last night. Yeah, you know, we had an important week coming up here right now. Obviously, there's some major All-Star games happening 2 weeks from now, and then the Senior Bowl coming up. So trying to get some things just structurally, you know, right, and making sure that our staff is on the same page as we move forward, because there's a lot of work to do between now and the draft and free agency and, you know, the combine. There's just the volume is pretty great, but you know, we have a great staff, and we've been well prepared for these things, and so there'll be some guys that are going to branch out and be more involved in some things than they have been before, and I'm really excited about that. But the first thing I want to do is just get everything squared away here as we go into this heavy evaluation time. So
you've been asked a lot about the salary cap. You've been asked a lot about free agency, but how do you think you are salary cap wise this year and future?
Yeah. Obviously, the salary cap is a puzzle, and obviously we have one of the best in the business in Russ Ball here to kind of manage that for us. Over the last 6 years, I've had many, many conversations. We have a great relationship, and we're always communicating that way about why we're doing this and why we're doing that. And so, you know, those conversations have been the last 3 months because obviously we have some business heading into this offseason, and those will continue. I feel I have a firm grip of all those things, but I lean on him tremendously, and I will continue to do so.
More, please. Brian, when there are GM openings around the league, a lot of times those vacancies hinge on whether or not whoever the next GM is going to be can bring in their own head coach.
Mm-hmm.
What made you comfortable with Mike McCarthy, and how much was the ability or inability to bring in a head coach a factor for you in some of the other interviews you've done over the years?
Well, just to speak about Mike specifically, we have a great relationship. I have a ton of respect for Mike as a football coach and as a man. And, you know, that if – you know, all things being equal, that would have been a no-brainer for me, you know, because of how I feel about him. As far as the other ones are concerned, I think you take each one and you kind of look at the overall situation. Most of the ones that I've been involved with have had a head coach in place. There was only one that didn't. So I don't know if it makes it more appealing or not. I guess it depends on the person. Yeah.
Hey, Goody, sorry, Brian.
That's fine. Goody's fine. Hey, Goody is absolutely fine.
Oh, you're GM now. Come on.
When you look back at your path to get to this point, I mean,
yeah.
I think we've talked before about some of the stuff you missed with this crew here.
Right.
But you really worked your tail off to get to this point. Does that make this, A, sweeter, and B, prepare you better for this job? Because you really, you didn't take the easy path to get this
gig. I think I take a lot of confidence from that. That's, you know, when you get into situations like I am now, I think I look back and that's what gives me confidence, is that I've been in so many different spots and I've had to grind it out. And that won't stop. I mean, that's what this job is. I mean, from the first day I ever walked into the Green Bay Packers offices back in 1997, the one thing that was evident was that everybody that worked there just grinded. I mean, that was a big – that's how we did it. It wasn't a magic system or whatever. It was the fact that there was some really smart people that were working really, really hard. And I think that is that won't change. I mean, that's just going to continue, you know. So that's what that means.